This is LBC with Tom Swarbrick. Call 0345 6060 973. Tweet at LBC. Text 84850.
Back to your calls in just a moment. Simon Marks joins us, LBC's US correspondent, live in Washington, D.C., ahead of the inauguration, which, of course, you can hear on LBC Wednesday afternoon from 4. Simon, thank you for being with us tonight. Tell us how preparations are going, sir.
Not to depress everybody further, Tom, but I mean, imagine living with all the restrictions of a COVID pandemic and on top of that, finding that the city that you live in has been turned into an armed encampment, because that is what we're dealing with in Washington, D.C. And, the inauguration is supposed to be a celebration of the most fundamental principle that lies at the heart of the American Constitution, the peaceful transfer of power. It does not feel like that. As you said before the news, they were engaged in a rehearsal this morning. The pipe and drum bands were playing. Everything was being given a run through. And then suddenly there was the sound of an explosion. It was a propane canister, we now know, detonating in a area that is used by homeless people who live not far from the Congressional Building on Capitol Hill, which, by the way, is in and of itself a reminder of some of the economic challenges that this country is going to be facing under soon-to-be President Joe Biden. When that blast occurred, they immediately evacuated. Everybody ran off. People were told to stay in place, shelter in place. Complete lockdown of the Capitol building until about 30 minutes later when the local fire brigade confirmed that this actually had nothing to do with the inauguration. But it took place almost to the minute, 48 hours before Kamala Harris and Joe Biden were due to swear their respective oaths of office. Imagine what would have happened if that occurred on Wednesday rather than on Monday, which is why there are some voices here who are saying it is crazy under current security circumstances even to try and do this thing in vaguely time-honored fashion outdoors on the steps of the Capitol before a very small live audience, but a live audience nonetheless, at a time when it is taking 21,500 National Guard troops to secure this city. And last night, we learned from the Army Secretary that they're all being security vetted again, just to make sure that none of the people who are here to protect the city during the inauguration are themselves a threat to the inauguration. I mean, who would ever have... You keep having to pinch yourself and saying, how can this possibly be happening in the United States of America?
The vetting that is taking place, too, by the security services of those in the military and those of the National Guard, it points to the problem within. I mean, literally, the problem within either the military or the police. And the idea, too, giving much, much more credibility to the idea that the biggest threat to the United States of America is within its own borders from white nationalist extremists.
Yeah, well, I mean, there is now no question about that. Everyone within the national security community agrees that the biggest threat now is from the domestic enemy of the United States, not the international enemy of the United States. And that's based in very large measure on the fact that as the alleged participants in the insurrection on Capitol Hill 10 days ago are being arrested, you realize that they come from all walks of life and from a variety of different socioeconomic backgrounds. I mean, there's the real estate mogul, the property agent, who flew to Washington in a private jet, allegedly to participate in the insurrection. You've got former retired members of the Army and the Air Force. You've got police. You've got firefighters. It's not uniquely the preserve of the economically challenged and downtrodden. I was hearing the former Secretary of Homeland Security, Jay Johnson, over the weekend, arguing that the Trump presidency is going inevitably at the end of the day to be seen as a failed experiment. I don't think that's how Donald Trump views things tonight. He has absolutely achieved his target of making sure that by the time Joe Biden takes the oath of office, tens of millions of Americans will view Joe Biden as an illegitimate president. And that was what Donald Trump was trying to do even before the election was held. He's been relentlessly engaged in that campaign over the last 9 or 10 weeks, and he's achieved it. Mm. And in order just to safeguard the inauguration, 20,000 troops on the streets, and of course Donald Trump and Melania Trump not only not sticking around for the inauguration, leaving on Air Force One at about 8 o'clock in the morning on Wednesday and heading to Mar-a-Lago, neither of them having reached out to their successors, Joe Biden and Jill Biden. Absolutely classless. Not even Melania Trump has not even had Jill Biden in for a cup of tea and to, you know, show her where the good china is. It's breathtaking.
Two very quick things, Simon, before I let you go. First is, if people go onto my Twitter feed, at TomSwarbrick1, there is a brilliant piece about what was going on inside the Oval Office, the relationship between Bill Barr and Donald Trump, his Attorney General, written by Jonathan Swain of Axios. It is cracking. People should go and read that. And the other thing is whether you're seeing the same reports that we're seeing about Trump lifting the ban on the travel ban to Europe and also the UK by the 26th of January.
Yeah, it's very curious as to the timing. I mean, he says that he's, by executive order, going to lift the ban that exists on non-US citizens and permanent residents. Because remember, US citizens and people like me with green cards have never been banned from travel. It's been the other nationals that have been banned from travel. He says he's going to rescind that by January the 26th. Now, you can read it both ways. On the one hand, you can say, well, that's Donald Trump trying to make life harder for Joe Biden by making sure that people can come into the country and potentially bring COVID-19 with them. But on the other hand, it is coincidental with all of the new regulations that are about to be imposed here that will require everyone to have a negative test before they travel into the United States or out of it. And remember, all of these executive orders, he signed loads of them today. He signed a proclamation to create a national garden of heroes. All of this stuff can be undone by Joe Biden on day one, but it is definitely a curious move.
Good to talk to you, Simon. We'll hear from you again, I'm sure, in the run-up to it, and, of course, on the day itself, which you can hear coverage of the US president inauguration from Wednesday afternoon on LBC from 4 p.m. Simon Marks will be there for that. LBC's US correspondent live for us in Washington, D.C.